Hey everyone, welcome to Garden Fork Radio. You're here with Rick and Eric. Hey, sir.
Oops, I saw your video.
Yes, you did.
I'm so sorry, Eric.
I don't want to spoil it for everyone, but it will be posted on YouTube just about the same time this podcast is posted on iTunes. So you can go watch it. I will link to it. It's quite a thing.
Yeah, kind of heartbreaking. I remember when I dropped a case of quart jars of honey and broke all of them. And that hurt a lot, too.
Yeah. You put all this work in, and then it's like, uh-oh, something went wrong. The only bummer part is the actual incident. I got a GoPro camera for free. A friend of mine gave it to me because he upgraded. And it just caught the edge of the incident because of the way I had the camera set up. I'm still learning how to frame the picture and everything because it has no viewfinder, you know, the GoPro.
Right. Yeah. So,
it was
but
quite a thing.
I want to say I enjoyed the video a lot. You know, minimal conversation. It was just a nice atmospheric kind of video. And I was having a lot of fun until oops. So how else has it been? What else going on in your life?
Well, I've been kicking myself because I've been thinking about sap season a little too much this winter because I got a new evaporator tray for the new file cabinet evaporator, which I built this weekend and I shot the video and I will post that later this week. There are two videos going live today, which is Tuesday evening they will go live. But the problem was I started to obsess about the sap season because I wanted to build this very cool automatic float valve that would feed raw sap into the evaporator tray at the same rate that the water is being boiled off the giant tray. So all that steam coming off is water vapor, and the float valve would add in liquid water at the same rate that that water vapor is coming off the sap. And I was so obsessed about that, I did not do any real hands-on planning, like running the sap lines before the season started. And I had to rebuild the lines because they were falling apart, and I didn't put them together very well the first time. And I bought a tubing tool, which is a $100 crimping tool, basically, for sap lines. And so the sap all of a sudden started running, and I was unprepared. So I lost quite a few days of the season to me running around the woods trying to rebuild my sap lines, when I could have easily put the sap lines up 2 weeks ago, and it was fairly warm 2 weeks ago, and it would have been not a problem. And the camera operator said, "Boy, shouldn't you go out there and get the sap lines up?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I got time." You know, February 20th is when sap starts to run. I'm like, "Oh, I'll do it that weekend. It'll be really easy." And it took hours and hours to rebuild the stuff, and then I added new lines. So I got way ahead of myself, and I was quite annoyed because all I did was obsess about this little float valve thing. I'd been to the hardware store probably six times buying little parts because you have to go from a compression fitting to a threaded fitting, and it's plastic and brass, and then it has to go from the sap line tubing coming off the tank, the supply tank up by the garage. And man, and once I got the evaporator built, I ended up just taking a garden hose valve, you know, the kind that sticks out of the side of your house.
Yeah.
And I ran the sap tubing from the supply, and I soldered a nipple onto the end of the valve, and I stuck it on there, and I spring clamped it to the corner of the evaporator, and I just turned it onto a trickle, and I'm like, okay, that works.
I could have done that to begin with.
No, but I spent a month obsessing about this float valve thing, and I bought a stainless steel food tray pan that would be running alongside, because the real float valves for evaporator trays cost about $300.
Oh, wow.
And I just wanted to show my friends who boil sap that I built this thing for $8, you know?
Yeah, and almost a week of time, but let's not count that.
No.
Yeah.
So, it was a lesson learned. Plan a little more, and I always kind of bite off a little more than I can chew because, like, in December, we drive around, and I can eyeball sugar maples now. And I'm like, oh, we could tap those trees, you know? And I'm like, you know, because then you have all this sap, and you have to boil it, and it's like watching paint dry.
Oh, you know? I'm sure.
And it takes days. Even with the new evaporator, the new improved evaporator, it still takes a long time.
You know, you would think that the camera operator, you know, she likes to sit and read and stuff, I think. And, and it, she should just sit out there with the evaporator and keep it stoked and just keep reading, you know?
Yeah, I'll bring that up with her.
Yeah, you tell her Rick said. Oh, wow. But anyway, really nice video. I mean, it was very atmospheric. It was a lot of fun. And then you began talking. That kind of killed the whole thing.
Sorry. I'd like to do more of the atmospheric videos, but I'm just kind of too topic oriented. I guess I could do more atmospheric stuff with the dogs and.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it was just, the music was wonderful and it was just bouncy and you know, the light was right and you had kind of those golden hues going on.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job and then bang. And so
the mic drop, boom.
Yeah. The mic drop.
I'm learning how to better color correct. I took a workshop at YouTube in Manhattan and about color correction using Adobe Premiere. And I do a real simple way to do it, but a lot of video, when it comes out of your video camera, not your iPhone, but your camcorder, is kind of flat. And actually you want to shoot your video what's called flat. You don't want to pump up the colors.
Right.
Or pump up the contrast. You want it as generic as possible with a lot of tooth, basically, a lot of depth of video information that you can then tweak later.
And then you can color it and so that it's the same all the way across. It's amazing to me. There are people that make fabulous careers out of doing nothing but coloring video, mostly for the movies. But
Color houses, they're called. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go to a color house. We would shoot a commercial, and then the next morning we would take the film to a transfer house. You know, we'd shoot on 35mm film, and they transfer it to video, and we would color correct the dailies in a machine that was bigger than my kitchen table, and it cost like millions of dollars. And now you can do that on a Mac.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. But that's how you get consistent color. Palette across an entire video is shooting it very flat and then going back and doing the color correction. And you can do it in big chunks. You can do it for the entire video if you want, depending on the software you have. But it takes a special eye. And frankly, I'm a little too colorblind to be able to do anything like that.
I do a batch color correct and then I go clip by clip. But a lot of people, if you're thinking about shooting video and you want to get into it, you can shoot a little video color card at the beginning or end of your shots. And that gives you a neutral grayscale and then different colors. And it makes color balancing much, much easier that way.
So. Right. And I have I forget what it's called now. You talk for a minute. Let me get it.
Well, what I was going to say is you can make your own color correct card by just having a piece of paper that is white and black. You could get some black color out of a magazine, probably, you know, like black paper out of a magazine, and then you have a white piece of computer paper, and
okay,
that works
I'm back.
Perfect. Oh, darn, yeah. I was on a roll.
Oh, dear. I have the spider checker, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 colors across, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 colors down, and you actually take a picture of and then it's obviously filled in. It's a rectangle. And so you take a picture and have one of the people hold this so you can see it.
Yeah.
And then crop out the spider checker itself, and you run software over it, and it color corrects your pictures.
Yep.
And it does a really wonderful job, and it saves you just a ton of time. You run a little software and you put the colored blocks on the software over the colored blocks on the picture, so it knows which one's which, and then it will create its own little color correction thing, and it has been a real lifesaver for me.
That is called a CLUT or CLUT, color lookup table. Most people call it a LUT, and you can create your own LUTs and store them in Adobe Photoshop or Adobe Premiere and then apply them to photos or video clips.
I didn't know that. See? But anyway, I got it because I just needed help color correcting and getting stuff turned out quickly. And so it really helps me when I have a big load of things to do.
Cool. Well, we would like to hear about your planning failures. One of the Garden Fork mantras is embrace failure, which I did in a big way last weekend. But radio@gardenfork.tv is the email address. We'd like to hear from you guys. So, go ahead.
I have a new project.
Okay.
I am taking a hiatus from social media. Starts tomorrow. By the way, the 1st of March is tomorrow, and it is our 41st wedding anniversary.
That's great, man.
So, yeah, it's a long time to be snoring in each other's faces. But anyway, I'm going to take a month-long hiatus, try to just kind of kick all the social media habits. So if people don't see me on the Garden Fork Q&A site, which is now called what?
It's called the Garden Fork Discussion Group.
That's it. Or on my own personal feed or whatnot, everything is fine. I'm just going to cut it off for 30 days and just take a little break. So I've got plenty of other projects I need to work on, and social media is just terribly distracting to me, and occasionally upsetting, but mostly just distracting. And I'm going to wean myself off of it.
There you go. Excellent. I have to be there, you know, for Garden Fork, but I do not look at the Facebook screen, that's what it is, the stream of screaming, oh my gosh, can you believe, you know, it's like my friends, no matter what their political standing, are all screaming. I'm like, you know, my father-in-law and I talk a lot, and he's a very learned man. He's deep into history.
I've met him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. And he doesn't watch a lot of the news either. We're both kind of concerned. And he said, you know, I watch the news from BBC America now, and it gives a much different perspective. And they don't really have an agenda like some of the other American TV networks do. They kind of look at it from afar, and they also report on news that we don't hear about that's happening around the world.
Oh, so. Yeah. You know, I have been a big fan of BBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Network, ABC, which is the Australian Broadcasting Network. They usually call it Radio National there. And just getting a different view of the news. Oh, and Radio Deutsche Welle. And just getting the news from a different point of view, from a different life experience, really helps. It really helps. And I get them on, I listen to a lot of those podcasts every day, but I'm also cutting back on podcasts for a while. They have just consumed my life now. Can you believe how many you know, when you first started this, what were there? Maybe a few hundred podcasts around. You know, now there are tens of thousands.
Yeah. Yeah. I've kind of gone down a true crime podcast bender.
Oh, really?
I just kind of intrigued by it. You know, they I think it's kind of very interesting, the power of an individual to cause usually positive change. There's one called Up and Vanished, and I think the gentleman's name is Peyton, who hosts it, and he's actually a documentary filmmaker, and he was looking for a new documentary film to make about a unsolved murder. He lives in Georgia, and he came across this unsolved murder, and he turned it, instead of doing a video documentary, he made it into a podcast and has brought some interesting information to light. And I think the police are happy that he's doing it, because people are now coming forward with new information, you know, 20 years later, prompted either by the podcast or say, oh, well, I just remembered something. So I don't know. For some reason, I'm very intrigued by the storytelling. And there's a couple out there that I listen to now. And it's great, like when you're sheetrocking a wall or painting or it's perfect to listen to. I can't listen to them while I'm like working on the computer, but I can listen to them in the car or when I'm doing, you know, DIY work. So,
yeah. You know, I was out in the beds all day getting the side beds ready to go. And just listened to podcasts nonstop. And it was, and then I'd walk the dogs earlier and I was listening to a podcast. And I like those kind of things. And I love the long form storytelling. One of my favorites right now is Lean and Hungry, and they're actually doing plays, and they're doing a series of the Shakespeare plays. They do them just 30 minutes at a time, and there's lots of commentary and color and stuff that's going on to help you get through the play. And if you've never really appreciated Shakespeare, they're doing Midsummer Night's Dream right now, but you would like to, try Lean and Hungry podcast. They do little 30-minute snippets of the play, and it lasts for several weeks. And then, you know, they go on to something else. And I've been having just the most wonderful time listening to that.
Good for you. I've been listening to the Serious Eats podcast and selected ones of the Bon Appetit podcast. And, you know, sometimes they take themselves a little too seriously, but if they have an interesting guest on, I will listen to that. So that's my other
thing. Oh, yeah. That, you know, I like to listen to particularly nonfiction authors being interviewed. And I've even figured out when to catch them because, you know, they go on this tour and, you know, and the first stop are little bitty local stations, and they just kind of bumble and babble because they don't have their spiel down. And the last stop is something like WAMU in Washington, D.C., and that's the very top of the podcast heap. And their spiel there is so smooth they never give anything away. And so I like to listen to KERA. It's out of Dallas, and a program called Think. And it's a good mid-tier in between the two extremes where the author has not gotten his stuff together well enough not to tell you everything that's in his book that you need to know. You know, so yeah. He spills all the beans. You don't have to read it. And then, you know, he goes on up down the road. So I like to listen to those kinds of podcasts. I have all kinds of dodges and whatnot for listening to podcasts to try to extract the most with the least amount of time.
Hey, everyone, real quick, I just wanted to remind you and ask, basically, if you would consider supporting Garden Fork. There's a couple ways you can do that. It does take money and time for me to create all this stuff. And I love doing it, and I love sharing it, and I love that you guys like it. And if you had the time and the money, if you don't have the money, that's totally okay. There's a couple ways you can help Garden Fork. You can become one of our Patreon patrons. It's kind of like the PBS model where you do a monthly contribution to keep Garden Fork going. There's a link in our show notes about that. You can also go to patreon.com/gardenfork. Or you can help out Garden Fork when you shop on Amazon. The easiest way to do that is to use this URL. It's gardenfork.tv/Amazon. That will take you directly to Amazon with a little, a little cookie thing that tells Amazon that you came from Garden Fork. And we get a little sales commission on your purchases. It doesn't affect the price that you guys pay, and it does help us. Gardenfork.tv/Amazon, or click on any of the Amazon ads on our website or in the iTunes podcast information section. There's always a little info section that comes with the podcast there. And there you go. You could help Garden Fork. All right, let's go back to the show. Get off podcasts here, but I wanted to talk about, we are both kind of weaning off social media, but I had a very successful beekeepers meetup in my kitchen last night. There were 11 beekeepers, and we started this.
Is this face to face?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, how'd you do that?
Well, there are a couple of groups that use meetup.com. And they're beekeeper groups in New York City, but they're kind of large and difficult to manage and difficult to be a part of, I've found. And I knew a couple of beekeepers in Brooklyn, and I said, hey, why don't I start this Google email group, not using Facebook, not using anything, just Google, which is a lot of people have Gmail addresses. You don't have to have a Gmail address. I don't have one. And I started this, as I just called it, Urban Beekeepers of the New York Tri-State Area. And through word of mouth, there's about 20 people on this list. And we can ask each other kind of very urban bee specific questions or wide open questions. And I think it works really well, but except for me, not a lot of people knew each other. And I said, hey, why don't we have a little get together? And 11 of the 20 people on the email list came over last night. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. That's my definition of hell.
Yeah. No, people
but it's it works good. You know, I think people are pulling back into smaller, more personal groups. You know, I think from all the statistics I've seen, people are beginning to have sort of a jaundiced eye toward the let everything hang out. It's all on Facebook. It's all on Twitter. You know, they're pulling back, making it more personal and more local. And I think that's a great thing.
It was great because everyone brought food that's in my fridge now. So.
Oh, we'll see. It did work out. Okay.
Yeah, I had to use every chair in our house because, you know, we don't have kids. We have dogs, so we don't have lots of chairs around.
Well, people can sit on the floor, you know.
So I ended up, I finally realized I have the little outside wooden, you know, the outdoor porch furniture. What are those called? Those little chairs that unfold.
No, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Wooden chairs that unfold from your yard. So I went out and got those. But so if you want to have a group, and what several people in the group said, I'm glad you're using just a Google email list. It could have been any kind of email list software. But this is a group, you know, everyone in the group can respond and contribute. They said like a third of the people aren't on Facebook, you know, so it worked out really well. And when you are on Facebook in a group, you don't always see or read everything that's going on anyway. So
right.
Just a simple group email list worked great.
You know, She Who Must Be Obeyed and I have switched to Signal for messaging and calling each other now. And do you know that I know you used to have Ghostery on your laptop.
Yep.
But they have it now as an iOS, and it's actually a alternate web browser you can use instead of Google or Safari or Firefox and whatnot. And I am just really locking down everything that we have and trying to keep information from leaking out. I've modified all of our online profiles, and we have absolutely nothing to hide, but I'm just tired of people making a fortune off of my information. So, cool. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if I read these reviews or not. So you're going to have to listen to them again if you did or if I already did. But on iTunes, we have one from Listener, and she says, I love listening to these guys. I'm a 59-year-old woman who likes to fix things but doesn't have a lot of skill or even a toolbox. They make me feel confident and help me decide what's possible. So I won't be tiling my own floor, but I am making a pizza oven this spring.
Good for you.
Yeah. And then one from Maddie. And if I already read this, Maddie, he's going to email me very quickly and tell me, of course. But he's like longtime Garden Fork supporter guy. I've been listening to this for years, and I always get something from Eric. I listen and save certain episodes for reference later. Wow. Eric and his guests have been great insight into gardening, cooking, fixing, etc., and have empowered me to do some things on my own at my own home. After all, done is better than perfect. Yay.
Yes, and that's absolutely true.
Thank you. We didn't even do the intro for the show. I forgot to completely introduce the show to people because I always think...
You can add that on at the end or add it on and then stick it on the front.
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to congratulate you, though, for doing such a fine job helping out with Root Simple. I know you did at least one podcast for them, kind of took their place. I forget their names. The woman's name is?
Kelly.
Kelly.
Kelly and Eric.
Had the most amazing medical story.
Which is on their podcast.
Yeah, she just did a podcast about it, and it was heart-stopping, literally, just to listen to it and to hear all. And she just went through it so calmly and piece by piece. And there was a really very good chance she was going to die. And yeah. I'm glad she didn't, but, you know.
Couple takeaways there. When you have sharp leg pain, sharp neck pain, sharp pain in your chest, in your arm, don't just say, oh, it's nothing. Go to the emergency room and say, I'm having this sharp pain.
Yeah. You know, even when they got her to the emergency room, they couldn't quite figure out what happened, because what happened to her is so rare that most doctors really haven't seen it. You got to find a cardiologist or somebody.
Right.
Her aorta split partway, and then it kind of formed a pocket between the inside wall and the outside wall and started filling with blood. And it was right there at that point, pinch point in her leg at the groin.
Yeah.
And then it really split open and started spilling out and stuff. And they were like, you know, you've got maybe a 10% chance of living here. You need to call your parents. You need to call anybody you need to call, because, you know, you might not get a chance to say anything to them again. And, you know, they were all just panicked. And it, I mean, it came out beautifully. But she told it, Kelly told it so calmly and so clearly and so gracefully that it really was something to hear. So Root Simple. I forget the name of that particular episode, but you'll be able to spot it. It's the most recent one they did.
And, you know, something to be said for having good health care. You know, they're freelancers, and they have, you know, they were lucky to even have insurance, because I think it was going to cost, I think the medical bill was over $100,000 for that.
I think that's what she said, yeah.
But they were, it was kind of amazing how once, you know, it's really nice to live near some technology, because they had her in the CAT scan, and they CAT scanned her chest, and then kind of at the last minute, they CAT scanned her head, thinking she had a stroke, and at the last minute they thought they'd CAT scan her chest, and that's where they saw, you know, the issue, and they all of a sudden the sirens went off, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nothing like good medical care. Yeah. It also just lets you know how tenuous, you know, Gail, she must be obeyed, was an RN, and she worked mostly critical care, ICU, MICU, that kind of thing. And the stories she would come home with made you realize how little it's just a hit or miss thing. You got to get the right symptoms and the right doctor and the right, you know, it really is a medical art. It's not a medical science.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Ooh.
Mm.
All right. So go to the emergency room. Don't feel, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to encumber anyone. You know, I'll be fine, you know. But if you go there and explain what's going on, they might just haul you inside and say, hey.
And she also, she didn't take the standard guff that you get when you go to the emergency room. She, demanded to be seen immediately. You know, she thought her situation was severe enough that she really needed to jump to the head of the line, which is another point, is to always be forceful if you think it's called for. Don't be a jerk when you don't have to be. But, you know, sometimes you need to get people's attention.
Hey, over here.
Yeah.
Aortic disruption over here. Well, cool. Oops. Well, I'll have to have some guests then while you're on this social
sabbatical
media hiatus.
Yeah. Sabbatical. Yeah. Like I say, I just feel the need to get away, and I've got a lot of Thoreau I'm going to read. I'm reading through his journals now. That's, you know, close to 2 million words, I think. And I just want some time away and to start reading again and reading long form and maybe doing a little writing and stuff, but I just don't want to be on social media right now.
All right. I mean, I took a week off last week. I didn't post a video last week.
So. No one noticed.
Yeah, because that's why I was so obsessed about this float valve thing, saplings. And then I'll make 2 gallons of syrup after, you know, I'm like, that's it.
Right.
You know,
you know, going back to gardening stuff, though, last fall I had raked up all, you know, gathered up all the leaves from my neighbors, put them in a big bin, and I'd turned them a couple of times, kept them good and watered, threw a couple of hands full of high nitrogen fertilizer on them to help them along. And that has turned out to be some of the best mulch. I spread it today. It is the best mulch that I've had in I can't tell you how long. It's crumbly and moist, and it just feels rich. It smells rich. And it was all free. So, you know, make plans to have a good mulch pit. Who did the packing crate or the pallet?
The pallet compost bin?
on the site recently. That was a first-rate job. He really did a great job.
His name is Greg. People send me photos and pictures of stuff they've done, and when I have a brain and I'm more organized, I actually post it. I ask if I can post it, and then I post it to the website. So he built a really neat leaf vacuum out of a giant wooden crate he got for free, and he just hacked it all together, and it works great. And then he also built these really nice compost bins out of pallets. So
yeah,
he's a machinist at a company that does high performance car racing stuff. I guess they make custom engine blocks and stuff for race cars, and everything comes in a pallet or a crate. And so he's got all this material to use. So
That's wonderful. But anyway, it looked really good. It was more than workmanlike. It was quality construction. So well done, Greg.
What are you saying something about my construction?
No, certainly not. Done is better than perfect.
Okay, I'm going to give you a month off now to think about that, Rick.
Thank you, my friend. We will talk to you around April 1st, April Fool's Day. Be a good day for me to reappear, wouldn't it?
All right, well, maybe we'll do some kind of April Fool's. If I can get my act together, we'll do something. So,
well, everybody go watch Eric's new video. It has an oops in it that is kind of heartbreaking and spectacular and oh so Eric.
But we rise from it. All right.
Yes, you do.
Again, radio@gardenfork.tv, everyone. And make it a great day, and we will see you next week.
Talk to you later, my friend. Bye-bye.